Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Incoming!
Now, Deaf Zombie Master.
Captain Sarka!
Pigs in space!
Pigs in space!
And hello, Christian! It's going to be that kind of show today, ladies and gentlemen. We have some news in the world of baseball, but mainly it's college football because we are T-minus 2 weeks until meaningful games on television.
Well, I did send you one piece of hockey news, too.
Yeah, and I actually found out what that was from. Anyway.
All right, what's with all the crackling in the background?
Oh, that was him trying to do a clapping sound effect.
Dummy! Dummy!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Hey, I can't help it if he's talking over the shit.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
I'll do it.
Oh, you mean, What are you going to try to do?
Okay, now I'm deaf in the other ear.
Really?
Onita! Onita! Onita!
Emotional damage!
Swear to God, people, this will not be a soundbite show, but yes, like we said,
damage!
But yes, on today's show, we dive deep back into the college football scheme as we go through the ACC and the Big Ten / Notre Dame. We talk about some baseball news. I mean, really, the baseball news is just not good.
No, it's not.
Not in the least.
Christian, I was going to say, Christian, you know about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into that holy horseshit. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays, well, we called it from the beginning that Tampa Bay was going to downswing somehow, but we didn't know about this.
Ronnie, you need to turn yourself down just a little bit. You're coming very loud in my headphones.
Hey, phrasing.
All right. It's very loud in my earphones. I don't know if it's just yours or because Brian's not loud and Christian's wasn't loud. Yours is.
That's not my end. That's all I can do is turn that little bit down. But that's
better now. Yeah, it sounds better now.
But that's what I've had the entire time. That's never changed.
Coming out very loud on my end.
But, yeah, Christian, you called this, but I don't think you were predicting this.
Exactly.
Oh, you talking about someone, you talking a Dominican version of R. Kelly?
Yep. So, Franco, shortstop from the Rays, Juan Franco, has been put on the inactive list for and I quote, this is coming from ESPN, grooming a 14-year-old.
Wow.
Okay, so I have an idea.
Besides a wood chipper?
Besides the wood chipper, okay.
Oh, come on. Fertilizer needs love, too.
Look, fertilizer needs love, too, but for us to get a handle on situations like this happening, you know, with these people, you know, grooming children, we need to take a couple of high-ranking fuckheads that deserve the wood chipper. Let's publicly slay them.
I got one better. Let's take Jared and all these groomers, put them on Epstein's Island, and say, Hunger Games, go.
I don't know, man. I would kind of take sick pleasure and watch these fucking...
The winner, charges dropped.
Nope,
no, bullshit.
It.
Fuck that.
That. Nope. Winner gets flayed alive. I'm going to skin him.
See Jared trying to fucking keep his shit together.
Yeah, they're. I don't care if one pedophile kills every other pedophile in the fucking world. It's not enough to forgive their crime, and I want to push you into a wood chipper balls first.
Ouch.
I've been punishments fitting crimes.
So the question that I have to this is does this affect Tampa in any form of does Vegas see this as they're fucked?
I think so.
The answer is no. Vegas still has them fifth overall to win the World Series. Or sixth, sorry, overall to win the World Series.
Well, they could say that all they want, but here's the bottom line is it's like the team chemistry is going to be, you know, it's like I told you the other day, you don't think that they're going to be marked now by people coming to the stadium and stuff and thinking the worst of them and stuff like that. The morale has got it.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
And well, I tell you, the team is going to take a major hit, man.
This team is going to be in a downward spiral, and they're only 5 games ahead in the first wild card spot. I don't see them making the playoffs. What do you say, Christian?
Yeah, this is a lot. You talk about a major distraction. I'm even at a loss of words. Talking about it just makes me wonder, you know, why do so many of these guys who think they have a little bit of fame and a little bit of money think they can do whatever they want and they're invincible?
Dude, me and Ronnie were just talking about that the other day because I brought up that former fucking Dominican Cardinals player that is currently in prison for, like, molesting his daughter.
You just never know. This is why I always say, you know, you can't idolize these celebrities. You get what I'm saying? Because you just don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, you can't put these athletes and musicians and actors and actresses on pedestals because you just don't know what's happening when the cameras aren't rolling. I know that young lady is probably scarred for life right now, you know, and I'm sure her family is traumatized for her. Like, I can't even begin to imagine what her family is going through, because this just doesn't affect the victim. This affects the victim's families. And, right. You know, I'm sure they don't even know how to deal with it.
Yeah, this would be a very, very touchy, sensitive subject to have to deal with.
Definitely.
What's fucking me up is
this is you know
how normal
is, yeah
how normal this shit's becoming, because now it's so in the news for it. But last week or the week, U.S. Marine bought a 14-year-old. He bought 4 sets and was hiding them in their barracks on base.
Yeah, you said that last week. You brought that up last week. Yeah.
And now you got Franco getting, who's going to be getting a similar charge. Why is it becoming so common?
So the headline on this from ESPN says, Dominican Republic prosecutor says, division specialist in minors and gender violence is leading the investigation. You have to bring in someone that specializes in this. That means you're not telling us the whole story.
Well, if he was grooming, we know, unfortunately, what all that entails.
But I'm saying is that was it one? Or could this be multiple, allegedly?
Well, look, for it to be multiple victims, given his stature, you know, as a celebrity athlete.
Right.
And if he's doing it now.
Here's the thing. Was this going on when he was? They never said when this started.
I'm sure they don't know whenever it started yet.
But I'm saying is though is how could it be because of his fame? And this could have started before he was ever in the majors.
It could have. That was my next question. Is this something that has happened in the past? Is he like a repeat offender? Or is this something where he's like, well, fuck, I'm a famous celebrity. I can do whatever I want.
I wouldn't think it's the famous celebrity yet because this is just coming out now when he's gotten paid by Tampa. We don't know if this happened while he was still in the DR.
I don't know.
Like that, there's a lot to this story we don't know about.
There is, and that unfortunately disqualifies us from actually making assessments on it.
Right. We can have a minor opinion, but we don't know.
Right. There's not enough facts for us to.
There's not. No. It's just this is what happened. It's an ongoing story.
This is how we feel about it.
Yeah.
Now here's a question. Now use the term if this comes out to be true, what do you want done? What do you think should be done?
Oh, if anything, he's going to jail.
Throw him under the prison, lose the key.
He's going to prison if this comes out to be true.
I very much believe that to curb this kind of shit happening in the future, we have to make an example of the people doing it now.
What the hell happened?
What?
I heard just people talking, and then I didn't, and then I see I'm disconnected from the show.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, you probably did something.
I didn't touch shit.
He's been future endeavored?
He's not somebody else. He's not somebody we used to know.
He hasn't been Bob Hollied.
He's not Daniel Murphy, retired, unretired, and retired again.
No, he's not Bob Hollied.
Wait, are you talking about who I think you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, or as he would say, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. I'm not going to trip over my words.
Dummy. Yeah.
What did I say? I said I'm not going to trip over my words.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
I've been putting a little Kool-Aid in it.
No, he... But at least he didn't retire, unretire, then retire again.
Yeah, well, Murphy, I don't know what Murphy was thinking by doing that.
But anyway, back to this thing real quick, and then we'll move on. Because honestly, like I said, there's not a lot to say, because we don't know any of the facts, because we got to wait until the trial starts.
Until there's nothing.
But what we can talk about is, and we can go around the room, should this affect the betting implement towards Tampa Bay in the futures markets, like the World Series market? Like, how hard does this affect them?
I mean, I didn't think they were getting to the World Series to begin with. I think the American League is coming down to Texas and Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, we know a certain team in the American League ain't going.
Yeah, you're right. You're with us. One of us. One of us.
Hey, man. Three peas in a pod.
Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ.
The way Dan's here.
Oh, it, Jesus Christ.
Should have been a good year. Listen to me. On paper, it should have been a good year. It has not been a good year.
Honestly, guys, this is probably the worst Yankee team I think I've ever seen.
I don't know what's going on.
That's right. You never saw 94 or 93.
Yeah, but honestly, Ryan, I'll let you know. I'll tell you what's going on. They can't hit. It's like what me and Ronnie always say. They're home run or bust. If they're not hitting home runs, they're not winning baseball games.
That's true. They're not playing small ball at all.
No, they're not, and that's what's screwing them. But Boo needs to go because, you know, just reading the other day, he was still playing Anthony Rizzo even when he was concussed. Like, you know, that's just all sorts of fucked up.
Now, let me pose this question to you guys, okay? I have a feeling that if we're lucky, it's going to happen. This is Waino's last season. Last season should have been his last season, but be this season instead. How will that affect the Cardinals next season?
I think they're retooling with their minor league, so I don't think it's going to affect them that much.
I don't know, man. Look, we've had that high-caliber pitcher with pretty much the identical set of pitches for the past 15, 20-something years, because before we had Waino, we had Carpenter. And Waino's a carbon copy. So we've had that ace pitcher with those fucking killer off-speed pitches and that 12-6 curve. We're losing another pillar of the generation of Cardinals baseball. Will it have an effect on the team next season? We already know they're going into rebuild mode. They're going to build around Goldschmidt Marinado this offseason. At least if Mo's fucking smart, he will. But losing Waino is just as hard on St. Louis fans as losing Yadier Molina. Like, those two played their entire career in St. Louis together.
Right.
How's it going to affect the club moving forward? Because we don't have a stand-up, stand-out team leader type player.
Again, I don't know if it's really going to, though.
Not well. Then who can you see stepping up into that role from the current roster?
No, but I think you're gonna retool from your minor leagues.
I see. I think they're gonna go out and they're gonna either get another big slugger or a big arm, because they don't. I don't think the Cardinals want to rely on the AAA, the AA system to find that ace. They just want to go get.
Right.
I mean, the minor league is where, you know, we bring up our infield. You know, most of our outfield, but losing Yadi, losing Albert, losing Waino, there's a lot of holes in St. Louis. Because these were, you know, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but these were big names. These were household names. These were names that everybody St. Louis knew, and names in St. Louis that everybody loves.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
So, who's going to step up? Who do you think on the current roster is going to step up into that leader role?
You're not going to see anything quite yet, but I'm looking at guys that you have coming up. You got a pitcher that's in Double-A right now, and Hensie. Like you got a couple pitchers coming up that are in AAA already. So maybe there's something there. I mean, that's the thing, though. You're not going to know. You're going to go out. Obviously, everyone's going to go out and get some kind of pitching or some kind of bat.
Right, but I think that whenever they go to buy those guys, they're looking to fill those big gaps, not just in the roster, but also in the form of those players that can step up and, you know, lead the team and be a part of the community like these guys have been for the past years. So is there anyone on the team that you think could step up into that role? And if not, who do you think they could get that would?
I don't see anybody yet because I don't really know.
It's not going to be Arenado or Goldschmidt. I can promise you. Those guys still have a little bit of ego. So do they go out and do they buy somebody that can do it? Or do they try to bring somebody up from the AAA that can do it? Because it's a big role. It's an important role.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be the question, right?
I mean, it's my question.
And I can't give you an answer. I don't know.
Christian, you got any theories?
Do you guys have anybody that's worth bringing up in the farm system? Because, I mean, I did hear you mention rebuild. So starting from scratch means, you know, seeing what young players you have before you try to target somebody in free agency during the offseason.
Right. I mean, they've got their eye on a few guys. I mean, it's like Ronnie says, we got a few pitchers down in the minor leagues.
Right.
That, you know, once they, you know, get to that point and they get their call up, you know, they'll learn the St. Louis style of baseball, and, you know, they'll be great. I have no doubt. It's not very often that we produce fucking lemon. I mean, still, that could take years to happen and without some sort of leader on the field, sort of leader in the dugout, some sort of leader in the locker room.
Oh,
to me, that spells a disaster for a team. Is Dustin running his mouth?
Oh, Dustin should be embarrassed right now.
Oh.
Washington's beating them 2-6.
I mean, last I saw, we were getting beat by the Athletics. I'm not happy about it.
I'll give you an update.
It's like fucking getting beaten by the Special Olympics.
Yeah, it's 7-0.
Guys, is the season over yet? Can we just – can it be a mulligan?
It's in a month. Don't worry about it. We're all looking. That's why we're looking towards football.
I mean, I'm looking more towards hockey there. Give your calls back there, bud.
All right there, Tiff fucker. To be fair.
To be fair. You feel
but,
silly?
But no, like, in the long run, who the hell knows? Because this is going to be a terrible, what's it called, free agency. The only one that's there right now in that's the bell of the ball is Ohtani. Then it's everybody else.
Right. I don't know. It could be an exciting off season, or it could be is it September yet?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting off season because I'm really curious to see what the Yankees do because yeah, I'm just at a loss of words with them because, like, with the Yankees, like, every year Aaron Boone's been with us, they've won 90 games or more, right? I mean, they won 99 last year. They've made the playoffs every year he's been there, but they haven't gotten to the World Series. The furthest they've gotten is the
CS, when they got swept.
Yep, is the ALCS, and they lost to Houston both times. I honestly think a change of scenery. Like they need to clean this. They need to clean house because. Like the way I look at it, because Ronnie, we talk about this all the time, but I think John's echoed these sentiments too. John, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if George were living right now, I think Boone would have been fired.
Boone would have gone 5-6 years ago.
The problem is Cashman
would have been gone too. They both would have been gone.
So here's the way I look at it. Cashman is the problem. Boone is a problem.
Cashman had the magic touch years ago. He's lost it.
Yeah, because he just thinks throwing money at guys is the way to go.
You know, and it's like they just there's one thing I noticed, the same thing with the Mets, same thing with the Yankees, and I don't know, maybe even for the Cardinals. There's no team unity on these teams. There's no camaraderie on these teams.
Oh, there's not. Yeah, yeah.
There's not a nucleus of young guys that all came up together that are like, I mean, the Mets have that kind of sort of with when Beatty, Alvarez, Vientos and stuff like that, but that's three guys. At least when the Yankees, you talk, you had Pettit, Rivera, Posada, Jeter, Bernie Williams, you know, all those young guys that all came up together. They played together. But when you start mixing and matching guys like, oh, let's bring in this millionaire, let's bring in this former future Hall of Famer, let's bring this. You could bring in 10 future Hall of Famers. If those 10 future Hall of Famers don't get along with the core players you got, you're going to have nothing but a train wreck. Perfect example is the fucking Mets. You brought in Scherzer.
Hold on.
No, let me get my point across and you can say whatever you want. You bring in Scherzer. You bring in Verlander. You bring in these two guys that are bona fide Hall of Famers. They didn't gel with this team.
That should not matter. Baseball, if this was any other sport, I would say you're right. Baseball, though, is an individual sport that is wrapped around a team. You don't need chemistry. As long as you do what you need to do, then you can win.
No, I hate to disagree with you, but you're wrong, because if you're player A and you're like, I'm going to go out there, I have to pad my stats, I have to do this, I have to be a star on MLB The Show, or I want to get my own whatever, I want to get my own sneaker deal or stuff, it's going to throw your team unity off. That's just what I'm thinking. That's my opinion. You're going to throw the team unity off.
Okay, I'll give you a great example on why that's not true. The early 90s, late 80s, Oakland Athletics. You had synergy with them between Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, and Mark McGwire. What did they win?
Ronnie, can I just say one thing? I'll answer your question, but I'll say baseball back then is different than baseball.
You still have to hit that ball. It's the same sport. They have gotten more athletic, but it's still the same sport.
Here's the difference with that. The money then is different than the money.
Why should that matter?
Because you know what it is? Big market teams are – it's like we've said it all the time. They're buying the big-name players, and the small market teams can't – all they do is develop stars and then trade them off.
This sounds like the argument from the Yankees in the 90s when George was buying everybody. No offense, Christian.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But here's the thing. How did the Yankees not win 8 World Series in a row? From 98 to 04, how did they not just wipe everybody clean with that package? How did the Marlins win one? How did Cleveland win one? How did the Oakland the Expos win one? How did the Blue Jays win one?
Expos never won anything.
Sorry, Toronto. Toronto. Ryan, I'm getting echo again.
Not for me.
I'm saying your machine, I think, was giving me a little feedback. Oh, it's good now, but I'm just saying it was giving me a little feedback. Well, but it shouldn't matter about – you're saying chemistry.
Yeah, because it's like, look at it this way. And, Christian, like I said, I'm going to go back to your thing. back in the mid-90s when Jeter came up and Posada and Bernie and Pettit and all them guys, they all played in double and triple A together. They came up, they were a core, they were a core unit. They were, they brought a certain chemistry to the team, which made that team successful. You brought in a veteran or two here and there, and guess what? You had a core that was good for years until Pettit went to Houston. Then Jeter eventually retired, Posada retired, Mariano Rivera retired, so on and so forth. The Yankees, I look at the Yankees now, besides not recognizing one fucking guy on that team except for the big stars, I don't recognize that team. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel a connection. That's the word I'm trying to say. I don't feel a connection to that team. I don't feel a connection to my own team, with the exception of a few guys. Because right now, it's like, I look at who's playing for the Mets: Jonathan Arruz, DJ Stewart, Albert Almonte Jr. I remember what Sandy Alderson said a couple years ago. We're not going to be bargain basement shoppers anymore. We're going to shop in the gourmet aisle. No, no, and I heard, and don't groan, because you know I'm right with this one.
Finish what you have to say.
Because here it is. We're at the end of the season. You trade off all your big stars, and whatever big stars you got left go, oh, my head, I can't play. You know, Marte or stuff like that. You know, it's just like you don't. These guys don't care. They're going through the motions of a baseball team, but they're not showing any heart. I'm sorry. The Yankees are in the same boat, and I from what I've seen in the Cardinals, they don't look like they're playing with any heart either, because they know they blew the season, so they're basically mailing it in.
John, you want to know what really pissed me off the other day?
I mean, am I – no. Am I wrong?
No. But you want to know what really got me the other day with the Yankees? They're down in Atlanta, I think, 10-3 or 9-3. And I see Stanton, Rizzo, and Judge all in the dugout laughing and smiling.
Yeah, because they're getting big-ass paychecks. They don't care.
I'm just saying to myself, I'm like, look, if this were during the core 4 days, nobody would be smiling.
Nope.
Christian, but you know what the problem is there? That
what?
Comes from Hal.
What do you mean?
Chemistry.
No. Oh, my God. No. Stop, John. Let me speak now because.
All right. Go ahead.
Because if this was George and he saw them laughing, how fast do you think they're on a train down to AAA or out of waiver wire?
Yeah.
It all starts with Hal. Steinbrenner does not give a shit, which then goes down to Cashman, then goes to Boone. Boone right now is the scapegoat. Cashman, Hal does not want to actually do the job of a fucking owner and hire a GM that actually can do something, which, by the way, he just gave his so-called greatest GM a fucking 4-year extension, and which then travels... Which then travels down to Boone. So who gets fired first is going to be Boone. But the only reason Boone still has a job right now is because Cashman's still there.
You know who I want the Yankees to hire to be their next GM?
I was going to say Theo. Theo would only do it if he got stake in the company.
That, and then I want Don Mattingly hired.
That's the guy that needs to be the bench coach.
No, he needs to be
the
manager.
No, he needs to be the
manager.
Fucking manager.
Screw a bench coach.
But I'm saying,
you know what?
The guy that...
I want to finish what you're saying, and then I have a retort for what you said, something you said before. Go ahead.
And then flip it to the Mets. The reason they shipped everything out was because the quote-unquote project did not work. The reason we don't have anything, okay, fine. Marte's been hurt all year. So, oh, my head. Fine, let him rot on the fucking bench. Who cares? The guys that have been playing hard are the guys that are still trying to save a job, a.k.a. like the guys like Vogelbach. By the way, Lindor still is the first shortstop in Mets history to have a 2020 season.
You know what? And if you notice, I didn't say anything about him.
No, but you're saying chemistry. So he's part of the chemistry. It doesn't matter about chemistry as much as it does as doing your job. Lindor is doing his job. Alonso did his job. The pitching did not do their job. And I'm not blaming Verlander. I'm blaming fucking Scherzer, fucking Cookie, fucking McGill. I'm blaming them because they got on the mound and they fucking choked every time they went out. That's and to replay what you said about the 98 team, I'm sorry, there was only two people out of that core four. Yes, they won a lot. That were on offense. That were offense and defense. The other two were pitchers. One of the greatest closers that we've ever seen, and Andy fucking Pettitte, the greatest primetime pitcher ever.
In the postseason.
I'm just saying, primetime. You put him under the lights, he was lights out. But Jeter, Posada were the other two that were the two biggest positions out of there. In the infield, they are the two biggest positions. The rest of the guys were free agents. Tino, Paul O'Neill came from the Reds. Bernie was a
homegrown guy. They signed him when he was 16 years old.
Okay, but
he was a homegrown kid.
He was in before Jeter was there. So I don't consider that
quite only by two or three years.
What I'm saying is, it's mostly guy. It was get those guys and fill in. The chemistry comes where they're actually playing with each other. There was no way that any of these guys play with each other. Guess what? IKF should not be the catcher for the Yankees. But you went and fucking ruined one of the best power hitters and fucking as a catcher next. That could have been the next fucking Piazza, but no, you had to worry about him fucking flaming a pitch and not giving a shit about defense and ruining his fucking head so he goes fucking somewhere else, and when he came to the Mets, he actually was hitting. And I said that from the start. Christian can vouch for that. That motherfucker was ruined by the Yankees. And IKF should not be there right now. They need to go out and get another catcher or find... They have the kid down...
IKF is an outfielder. Hishigawa you're talking about.
No, they've been putting IKF behind the plate for a little bit.
He's never caught a game. I've never seen him catch a game. Isaiah kind of Falefa is catching.
Well, they got Austin Wells needs to come up tonight.
But he needs to be
the catcher of the future.
But what I wanted to retort one thing you said, if those guys they'd be on a if they weren't hitting, Steinbrenner would have them on the first train of the minor.
No, I never said if they were hitting. If they weren't hitting.
They'd be down. You just said that about a 10
No, seconds. I said if they were smiling while they're losing.
Oh, that's all right. My mistake. But still, here's the thing: if they're like you're talking about guys like Judge and Giancarlo or whatever the hell Christian calls them, and all those guys with the millions, Steinbrenner is not going to fuck with his million-dollar guys. The only time I ever saw a manager or an owner fuck with a million-dollar guy was when Reggie Jackson was pulled in a game in Boston by Billy Martin for half-assing it on the field. Chris, did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Well, Judge, you don't have to touch Judge. The fact that Judge is out there with a broken fucking toe still hustling in the outfield just shows how much he actually wants to fucking be there.
Yeah, but you know what it is, and it's like, I'm sorry, I respect your opinion. Don't get me wrong, I respect your opinion, but I still think chemistry on a team. All right, I'll give you an example. As much as I hate these motherfuckers, the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves, all of them together. They play with chemistry and they play with unity. And guess fucking what? They're successful. From the catcher to the first baseman, sorry, Christian, the second baseman to shortstop to third base to all the outfield positions and the guys on the fucking mound. Every one of those guys plays with something because they all play together as a team and they're all unified as to say, we're the fucking Braves. We're going to do this shit. And none of them, they all kind of came in and they were all around. They've all been playing around the same time. There's not too many big old-ass veterans on that team. There might be one or two sprinkled here and there. But primarily, the Braves are all around the same age, and they've all pretty much started playing together, with the exception of Olsen and, what's his name, Murphy. Then again, they both played in Oakland together.
But is that chemistry or synergy? Because that's two different
things. No, to me, that's chemistry, because every one of those guys is on the same page with the agenda of what has to be done. And they all sit there and play, this is what we got to do. This is how we got to play to win. Everybody's on the same page. And guess what? It's successful. And they're going to fucking blow away the Eastern Division. They already haven't already. I'm surprised they haven't clinched yet. But you see, that's the thing. The Yankees are missing. The Cardinals are missing. The Mets are missing. And a lot of other fucking teams are missing. They don't have that unity of all the players playing together, heart and soul. They just don't have it. And I'm not saying anything derogatory about any of the teams. I respect the Yankees. Christy knows this. I've never said a bad word about the Yankees. I may not be a big fan of them, but I respect them. Same with the Cardinals. I may not like some of their players, but I respect the team. I respect the sport of baseball. I just don't like the Braves because, well, they're the Braves. But still, show me many fans that love the Braves. But the point I'm trying to make is that's what you need to win. The Dodgers kind of have it. They don't have it as much as the Braves do, in my opinion. The Padres, they can't get along with that. The fucking their star outfielder can't get along with anybody. And Soto, he doesn't want to be there. He said it. He's come out and said he don't want to be there. He doesn't. He half-assed it sometimes. That's it. Where's the unity there? There isn't any.
Hence why they're not going to probably make the playoffs.
Exactly. This is the point I'm trying to make. Teams that are so ahead of the standings play with passion, unity, and chemistry. That's what wins you baseball games. But when you put in, plug in this guy, that guy, that guy. Oh, this guy's going to rub this guy wrong. You're going to have a locker room full of guys going, it's not my fault, it's his fault. No, it's not his fault, it's his fault. Pointing fingers at whose fault it is and not saying, okay, we all fucked up tonight. When can we right this ship? That's what Atlanta does. You think Atlanta sits there and says, oh, it was your fault tonight? No, they say, we all fucked up and lost as a team. Because I've heard interviews where they say, we lost as a team tonight. That's the one thing I'll give respect to the Braves for. They play fucking well together. And it shows. But that's all I got to say on that matter. But
holy shit, I just found out Shohei's projective estimate.
It is.
12 years, $800 million.
And he's going to get it, too. He's going to fucking get it, too. Somebody's going to be stupid enough to pay him.
I think you're taking a very big risk paying him that.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody will pay it, won't they?
Maybe not 12 years. They'll give him close to $70 million.
His contract's going to be the largest in baseball history, guaranteed. I'd be willing to put money on that.
Problem is what's going on with his arm right now.
Why, is his arm not going well or something?
He's about to miss his next start and a half. Like, he got his start pushed back in this week, and then he might be missing the next start.
Well, they might be – also, what they might be doing is – where is Anaheim in the standings right now?
Nowhere close.
Are they in the wild card race in any way?
No.
All right, so then something must be wrong, because my only way of saying that is if he's missing starts, they might be skipping him to rest him. But if you're saying they're not in any heavy race, then something might be wrong.
They spent all this money and they went so, so downhill so fast.
All right, let me ask you this. All right, let's just let's play devil's advocate for this. We can play that now. We don't have to worry about being yelled at for it. If Ohtani needs Tommy John, say if it comes out he needs Tommy John in September, let's just say that. Does that affect him in the free agent market? Or do people still want to sign him?
I think that hurts how much he gets signed for.
For sure.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it were, does he still get a record-breaking contract?
You're still looking. You would start seeing 6 years, maybe $50 million, $60 million, but you're not going to see 12 years. You're going to see a lot more lower-end contracts. Just to answer your question, they're eight games out of the wild card.
So mathematically, they're still there, but it's iffy. Well, so are the Mets. The Mets are mathematically still there, but that don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals are still mathematically there.
So are the Nationals.
Well, everybody but the Rockies and the A's.
And the Royals and the White Sox and Detroit.
I'll tell you, that third wild card spot has really opened up a lot of teams.
I still think they need to go to four. In my opinion, I think it needs to be eight. They need to do what they did with COVID. I liked what they did with COVID.
What was that again?
The top two in each division and then two wild card teams?
Yeah, I like that too.
Maybe that's a little too much, but I think that actually opens up it more, where the top three get buys and then they figure it out from there.
So I'm on a Yankee page that I follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
One, the Yankees have lost five straight, which is their longest losing streak of the season. And some of the comments, someone made this comment, I can't help but laugh, but they're not wrong. It's sad. We wouldn't be at this record if Boone kept starting Severino. I don't know how he's still a 27 World Series championship team. It's really sad. Then someone else, and then their Instagram name is depressed_Yankee fan. We shouldn't worry. It's August. Hal said we're good. Cashman didn't make moves because we're a World Series team.
Christian.
Yeah.
Skype chat. I just put the picture of what – this is what SNY just put out.
Yeah.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
No, that's not making me laugh tonight.
But it's like
emotional damage. Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome.
That's what it is. It's emotional damage.
But it's just, you know, and like Ryan said earlier in the year, his team looked beautiful on paper, and he goes, they look great on paper. The Mets looked great on paper. But you can look beautiful on paper. Don't mean it's gonna translate to wins on the field.
Yeah, and just like I'll tell you, last year at the beginning of the year, the Yankees looked, remember, best record in the league. And then the second half of the season, they imploded. I just think they peaked too soon. Like, I really thought last year would have been the year we got over Houston. But hey.
Well, I look at it this way. The Mets won 101 games last year with pretty much everybody on the last year. Well, they had Diaz last year, but they didn't have Verlander. This year we had Verlander, but no Diaz. And we're, I don't know how many games, under 500, but we pretty much have the same group of guys on the field with the exception of Canna, Escobar, Marte, and all those other guys that have either been traded or out hurt. You still got Alonso. You still got McNeil. Alonso's having a monster year. You know, his fourth consecutive year of having 35 plus home runs in a year. Four consecutive years.
He's underrated to me.
And right now, next year, Christian, if you're a Yankee fan, you're praying them. You're praying to God the Mets don't give him an extension. I'll be right back. My phone's ringing. Hang on.
All right. Well, we should honestly God start getting away. We've done 45 minutes of baseball again. But no, in reality, it's not really what's gonna happen during the off season. Because honest to God, I stopped caring about baseball. I really don't give a shit. Now we got college football coming up, and that's kind of where everything's starting to focus. Officially, they just dropped preseason. The AP just dropped the preseason.
Okay.
Poll. I'm just going to go through this, and then we'll go over with what's wrong with it. So we just knock out the 25 and then just go back to it. Cool?
Sorry, I had to take a phone call. But no, what I was saying before.
Yeah, I was going to say, final thoughts on this.
Because Alonso next year, this is his last year. Next year, after next year, he's a free agent. Don't sign him to an extension. Would you take him in a heartbeat? Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, would you take Pete Alonso in a heartbeat?
This is why we
got to make sure that guy stays here with the Mets. Because if Cohen lets him walk away, because that's the fact that he was actually – they dangled him at the trade deadline – pisses me off. Why would you get rid of the only piece of your team that's the fans absolutely adore? Why would you trade him?
If you got back seven freaking minor leaguers or maybe a guy that was a starter, I'd take him and then re-sign him.
I'll just say this. I'll echo what Kevin said a couple weeks ago. When the Yankees are good, baseball's good. He's saying baseball's boring now because the Yankees aren't really doing much of anything.
Christian, let me put it to you this way. Since the upheaval of this team, I have not watched a single Mets game.
I haven't watched the Yankee game in over.
It's been almost since the deadline and before that. I think as of the second, I stopped watching.
Yeah, like honestly, I have.
I'm waiting for football season.
I have no desire to watch this Yankee team. Like I really, there's no heart. There's no heart. You know, they're content with hitting the ball four or five times. It's like what my one cousin said. Yankee games are over by the fifth inning. Like, you know what? I'll just say this, and then Ronnie, we can go to football. Like yesterday was at Sebi didn't look bad yesterday. He only gave up 3 earned runs. I was expecting it to be 9-0 by the second inning. Yeah. All right, I'll be back. I got to go get something to drink. Yep.
All right. Yeah, I've been watching the fucking Reds. Honest to God, I've been watching the Central because that's been so much better than anything in the East.
To be honest with you, like I said, dude, I'm right now, with the way this is, my mind is switched over to Jets football at this point. That seems to be the only thing that seems to be actually looking up until they disappoint me.
Well, they're not going to disappoint anybody.
Well, I didn't think the Mets would either, but here we are. But anyway, I would have told when Christian comes back, I got to ask him about that guy that we just signed at a 1-year deal. I ask about him.
Well, let's get through college first and then get to the pros. Dalvin Cook is worth it, but
when we get to that, I'll ask him about it.
Yeah. Trust me, I've been talking to Christian about it too, offline. But, no, with that being said, Ryan, when Christian gets back, we'll just dive into it more. We have the AP top 25 poll for the preseason. We had the coaches last week, the AP, which means more than the coaches, the top 25.
All right.
And we'll go through this five at a bit, because when Christian gets back, I'll tell him where we missed. 25, we have Iowa, which, fuck you, Iowa, you need to be way further down.
Yeah.
I'm saying that now.
I don't know why. Yeah, fuck you, Iowa. Fuck you right in the neck.
They just busted. They busted Iowa and Iowa State players for betting on their own team. Yeah, there's like 15 players that got kicked off the team last for this year because they were betting on Iowa and Iowa State football.
Dummy. Yeah.
Under their parents' names.
Yeah.
24, Tulane. 23, Texas A&M. 22, Ole Miss. 21, North Carolina. Honestly, besides Iowa, I don't see anything wrong with these five. A&M is always there. They're just going to be there. It is what it is. Whatever. Tulane, love seeing Tulane there. I'm fine with that. Iowa needs to not be in the top 25 because they have no offense, so it's Iowa, because they have no O. Iowa without the O. Iowa. All right, number 20, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
I was just going to say that, but I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Oklahoma.
Is it just is it just the auditions for Oklahoma?
No. All right, Christian, I'll go through 25 to 20 real quick because we just got there. Iowa 25, Tulane 24, Texas A&M 23, Ole Miss 22, 21 North Carolina, 20 Oklahoma, 19 Wisconsin, 18 the Ducks of Oregon State, 17, TCU with their 455-pound guard.
Oh, I meant to bring him up the other day. I saw that. Damn, that motherfucker's huge.
Yeah, Eddie can move. 16, K-State. 15, Oregon. 14, Utah. 13, Notre Dame. 12, Tennessee. 11, Texas, only because of Alabama. 10, Washington. 9, Clemson. 8, FSU, 7 Penn State, 6 USC, 5 LSU, 4 Bama, 3 Ohio State, 2 Michigan, 1 Georgia.
I don't agree with Ohio State being number 3.
Yeah, number
3. What do you got? You got LSU over Bama?
LSU.
Or do you got?
Right now, I'd say my top 4, well, really my top 5 is Georgia, Michigan. I mean, we knew Georgia was going to be at the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
Last two national championships. Michigan at number 2. And what did I tell you last week? The only team that can give Georgia a run for their money from a physicality standpoint is the Michigan Wolverines. And look, they're returning a big portion of that team from last year. And I keep saying it, too. If Blake Corum doesn't go down, I think they win that playoff game against TCU. TCU turned it into a track meet, which Michigan was never really able to get into. And TCU beat Michigan at their own game last year, which was being physical. Number 3, I'd probably give the edge to LSU because there's some question marks with Alabama. Like, there's some uncertainty. Who's going to be starting quarterback? How do you replace Will Anderson? And did they fix the issues within the secondary? Because what have I also said? Every year that Alabama's won a natty, they've always had standout play from guys in the secondary. Minka Fitzpatrick, Mark Barrett, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, PS2, Patrick Surtain II, just to name a few. And these last couple of years, they've been getting tested in that secondary. Ohio State, they're definitely going to be interesting to watch because no C.J. Stroud. And now, most importantly, there's more tape on Marvin Harrison Jr. So defenses and teams are going to know how to defend him moving forward. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna know what to do with him. They're going to double him, and they're going to force Ohio State to beat them with other weapons. But Ohio State's going to have to be a run-first team. They're going to have to run the ball, and they're going to have to rely on defense to get Kyle McCord, you know, and to put him in a comfortable situation, because new quarterback, you don't want to put him out there. You don't want to put him out there and have him win you games like that. They're going to have to run that football, use the tight end. Other than that, I really don't have a problem with anything. I think Florida State should be a little bit higher. Mine would be Georgia, Michigan, LSU, Florida State, and then Alabama at 5.
My top 5 was Georgia, Michigan, LSU, and I have USC at...
Nah, see, the knock I have on USC is I have with so many Lincoln Riley teams. You know what you're going to get from them offensively, right?
They actually have a really good defense right now.
Yeah, that's on paper. I still have to see it.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying right now, if I'm going preseason, I would put them at, 4 and then 5, what is it, and then Florida State 5.
Yeah. There's so many ways that you can go with this, but there are a couple teams I have over Ohio State.
I mean, right now, the one thing I'm looking at is, so there's a method when it comes to the preseason. The team has to be at least in the top 11, and usually by the top 11, they have the best chance of making the national title or the playoffs. And guess who that 11 seed is right now?
Who?
Texas.
Teja.
Could they sneak their way in? I mean, they go unbeaten. They beat Bama then. And especially if Bama's going to be ranked the fourth best in, and they beat them in Tuscaloosa, that's a big feather in the cap. And then number 10 on top of that is Washington, and number 9 is Clemson. Those three right there can just easily sneak their way into the playoffs this year. I was saying before, the one team that I think needs to be out of the top 25 is Iowa.
Yeah, because their offense is far too inconsistent.
Not even that. How about the fact that they just got busted for 25 players between Iowa and Iowa State betting on Iowa football?
Oh, God.
That's a kind of a big thing. I'm sorry, Notre Dame being 13, no. You can stay 13. You ain't sniffing playoffs. You might sniff Rose Bowl. You might sniff one of the New Year's Six games. But honestly, with how everything is, they could lose the first game and be completely shit out of luck. Because we don't know what the weather's going to be like in Ireland. And they got Navy. Navy always plays Notre Dame hard. I don't care what other people on the show used to say. Navy Notre Dame has always been that game where they're going to slow the pace down and the game's going to be a nail biter. Especially week 0 where Navy has everything to prepare for Notre Dame. It's not like it's mid-season. Right or wrong?
I mean, you're right.
All right. We want to dive into the ACC?
Yeah.
Christian, there?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you got dropped off for some reason. All right. So we're going to go quick because we got... The Big Ten as well as the ACC. I really have been behind. I didn't really do a lot for the Big Ten. I'm not even going to do over-unders. I'm just going to go through each team, say what their title odds are, and just give me your prediction on if their team is going to do, like, if the team is going to go, if the team is going to go bowling, say they're going to go bowling, which means they're going to have over 6 wins. So we're going to start with Boston College, who, God damn it, why do we have to start with Boston College? Because they're 150-1 to win the conference. Non-conference games, why does it fucking matter? Northern Illinois, Holy Cross, and Connecticut. They do not go bowling. They get stomped out. They're going to win 3 games.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah.
No. Right.
I don't see it.
Nope. All right, next. The Clemson Tigers. They're the favorites right now to win the ACC. At plus 130. And the no-hitter just got broken up. Sorry. Angel game is on. Their non-conference games are Charleston Southern, Notre Dame, and South Carolina.
This is who?
Clemson.
I don't think they make it this year. Do I think they can get to the conference title game? Yeah, but there's just, outside of Will Shipley, who else really scares you on this offense?
Well, A, we don't know what club it's going to be.
Exactly.
And the only good thing is they bring pretty much back their entire offensive line.
Right.
The defense is going to, like I said before, the defense is going to win them games. I don't think they're going to make the conference final. I really don't.
But
they're going to go bowling, obviously. They're going to win more than 6 games. I don't see them making the conference title.
Yeah.
Brian, what do you think?
I don't see them making the conference. No.
All right, next, them Duke boys. Duke is 30-1 to win the conference. And they got Lafayette, Northwestern, and Connecticut as their non-conference games. They're going to go bowling. I have them going 8-4 this year.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see 7-5.
Yeah. Right?
Hey, I'm just here right now, man.
You space cadetting?
Little space cadet right now.
All right. Next, the Florida State Seminole Vesicles.
definitely baked. He's laughing at that joke.
That's what we always call them. They are plus 140 to win the ACC. Their non-conference games are LSU, Southern Miss, and Northern Alabama. They're gonna go 11-2. They're gonna make the ACC title game. Christian,
I don't see them making the ACC title game.
Florida State?
Oh, Florida State? Oh, my bad. Yeah.
What'd you think I said?
I thought you were still talking about Duke.
No. FSU.
Yeah. No, I think this is the best team in the ACC.
I agree with that one. Right. Next, the Georgia Tech. Their non-conference games, South Carolina State, Ole Miss, and obviously Georgia. It looks like Georgia's going to be played in a a neutral stadium. It looks like they're going to actually play the game in Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that sucks for Georgia Tech. They're not going to win over 6 games. They're going to win 5 games.
I think it's going to be 5 if they're lucky.
They return nobody. They return the line. That's about it.
Yeah, they'll be lucky to get five.
Yeah.
If they're returning nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christian, what do you think?
And this is who?
Ramblin' Wreck.
Yeah, I don't really see them doing much either.
So, someone in your in the World of Sports group has predicted this team to make the ACC title game. You might want to tell them they don't know shit either. Louisville.
Yeah, okay. Who said that?
I forget, but it was in the group. It was in the chat. It was in the comments. I'm like, yeah, that's a bold prediction there, Cotton.
Yeah, okay.
They're non.
Hope it worked out for them.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Let's just say this. It won't. Because their non-conference games are Murray State versus Indiana in Annapolis and Kentucky.
Effing A.
They win 7 games and hit the bottom of the basement. Wait, okay. There's only one reason this team would win 7 games and make a bowl. The quarterback. Does the name Jack Plummer sound familiar?
Is that who I think it is?
That is Jake's son.
Son. God, that made me feel old.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
Oh. The team will go over 6 and go bowling, but they ain't making no title. They ain't not making no fucking title game. Fuck that. What do you think, Christian?
This is Louisville.
Yep.
2 inconsistent.
Okay. Rice, what do you think?
Negative writer.
All right, now here's something he's going to perk up for. The Miami Hurricanes.
All right, let's talk Canes football.
their non-conference games are Miami of Ohio, Texas A&M, and Butane Cookman. Obviously, Tyler Van Dyke is back as your quarterback. They are 16-1 to win overall. I think they're going to win 8 games and just – they're going to win over 8 games and just be shy of the ACC title game.
I think you're wrong. I think they're going.
Okay. Christian, what do you think?
This is who?
Okay,
Miami, the Canes.
See, this is tough to get a feel for because they always come out the gates with all this potential and then they end up playing mediocre football at best. Is Mario Cristobal the guy that can turn this ship around? Because when the Miami Hurricanes are good, I think the sport of college football is at its best. Because, man, this team in the 90s and the early 2000s, you couldn't talk about college football without mentioning them. I mean, 01 Miami is probably one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
That's true.
Yeah, but it seems like ever since then, they haven't really been able to put out winning football on the field. And like I said, when they're good, the sport as a whole is good.
Christian, can I ask you a question? Do you remember when The Rock played for them?
I don't, but I know he did. John, I'm going to tell you, you know who I compare Miami Hurricanes football to? They are the college football version of the Duke Blue Devils men's basketball team. And the reason why I say that, a lot of big names have played for Duke men's basketball, right? Grant
right.
Hill, Christian Laettner, Kyrie Irving, Zion Williamson. And, you know, I could be here all night listing all the big names that have played for Coach K, right? With Miami, I remember a couple years ago, someone asked me, you know, when I have kids, when I become a dad, and let's say my son gets recruited, where would I want him to go to school? I didn't even hesitate. I said, he's going to Miami, because he would learn from all the legendary names that played at the University of Miami. Warren Sapp, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Michael Irvin, Reggie Wayne. Who else am I missing that played there? Ronnie, I know I'm missing a couple of names.
Edgerrin James, Warren Sapp.
Yeah, I just said him. I said, yeah. And you know what all those guys have in common, John?
What's that I just listed?
They're all Hall of Famers in a Pro Football Hall of Fame. So for my kids to learn from those legends, man, look, they would teach my son things that I could never teach him.
But my question is, it's like when he played, because like I said, I wasn't paying attention. Maybe you guys could tell me, because he went undrafted in the NFL draft.
Right.
Was he that bad a football player, or would he have succeeded better, like, in today's football as opposed to when he played?
The Rock had a bad back.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. I always say there's nothing you can do on a football field with a hurt foot, bad ribs, or a bad back.
Listen, Warren Sapp would not have a gold jacket right now if it wasn't for The Rock's back.
Yeah, they played together, no?
The Rock was the starter. Warren Sapp was the backup. Warren Sapp was his understudy. If The Rock never got hurt, Warren Sapp never saw the field.
Really? I did not know that.
And let's face it, The Rock failed at the CFL because he was hurt. Enough said. Oh, Jesus Christ. What do you want, Satan?
Yes, please. To listen to the shit and not say something. John, I know you.
What?
Out of all the players to come out of Miami. Because, yes, I am a college football fan. Roll Tide. You bring up the fucking Rock.
I'm not knocking him. I was asking a legit question of what prevented him from being a good player. Why did he not go drafted in the NFL? That's what I was asking. I'm not knocking him. I'll never knock The Rock.
Listen to me. You really want to know why?
Enlighten me.
I did that. I was like, fuck, that guy's bad. He's not going anywhere. Then he became a wrestler. And fuck my plans. But I know he didn't go anywhere. That's what told me to do. What's this? Well, I'm here. Anybody else got a question?
We were talking about Miami. Where do you got Miami going? Satan.
The proper sacrifices have been made for taking the title.
Listen. Go back down to Georgia and play your fiddle on a hickory stump. Because God forbid, the dogs are taking the title, not the Canes.
The Canes are taking the title because last night at midnight, they did the proper sacrifice in the middle of the football field. And
they sacrificed Roman Reigns' acknowledgement.
They did. And they also sacrifice Finkel. So, you take it to the bank. It's coming from the red guy.
Jesus Christ, Satan.
Hey, don't talk to me like that.
I'll get Big Gay Al on you.
I don't give a shit about Big Gay Al. Big Gay Al can go fuck himself.
I mean, kind of already has.
Christian. Christian.
What you want, Satan?
You got any questions for me, Big Guy?
Look, man, you sound like Debo on steroids. And nah, what? I'm not giving you my chain.
My chain.
Big hitter, Satan was. Big hitter. He's the reason we have the turnover chain.
You right. Fuck over the turnover pencil.
It's my bike. Sit here being all the sauce. I know shit to you. Trying to be nice and answer questions. It's like, don't look yourself dead.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Satan.
Not now, Saddam.
Well, come on, Satan. I told you to come back down here.
And I told you I had things to do.
Yeah, well, get your fucking ass back down here and give me 311.
Saddam, people can hear you.
I mean, let him hear.
Dummy! Dummy! Yeah! Yeah!
Hey, bad guys! God damn it, Satan, I fucking hate you. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are officially off the rails.
When is the show ever on the rails?
Hey, it's entertaining as fuck. It don't really matter. At least we haven't called the two whores out yet. And we won't be keeping it that way, Ryan.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Because, like, she's trying to call in.
She can call in all she wants. I'm not dealing with those two bitches tonight. I deal with those every other fucking week. I don't need to deal with them on the air.
I mean, they're your friends.
I wouldn't call my friends. Listen, I run into a lot of rats at wrestling shows. I wouldn't call them friends.
These ones call you friends, my friend.
I should say something right now.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. And for some fucking reason, they're speaking Vietnamese.
Jesus Christ.
Ronnie, you said something I said, and I just thought of somebody that I can't say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because I know as many people as you do that's freaking, that goes into a Porter John and
Can I just hum a few bars?
Fucking bullshit!
We'll tell you
offline, Christian, what we're talking about.
What did he say?
No, because that joke needs some clarification. I know Christian has no idea.
And I've got to say, in all honesty, it's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
All right, let's get through the ACC so we can get to the Big Ten so we can get fucking through this shit. Because we, like I said, we have this, the Big Ten, and the SEC, and then we are done and we can start actually making legit picks again. So, Tar Heels, North Kakalaki. Non-conference games, South Carolina, App State, and Minnesota.
Ooh, Minnesota.
Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
They make the – they're the other team I have making the conference final. The Tar Heels.
Oh, that's good, don't you know?
Christian, what do you think? I got them winning 10 games.
Because I don't trust their defense. Offensively, they're going to keep you in games, but can their defense do enough to get off the field? And I just don't see it.
I mean, they're probably one of the few teams that returns the most. They return the most out of all depth players for defense. They return seven out of their players, seven starters. Ryan, what do you think?
What are they at?
Do they go bowling or do you have them winning, making like the conference title game?
Conference title game.
All right. Next thing, NC State at Connecticut, home against Notre Dame, and at VMI. I have them winning seven games.
I have them winning six.
Okay. Ryan?
Yes. Yeah, six. I'm going, Chris.
All right. Pittsburgh Panthers. I'm going to call them Pirates.
I was just going to say, what do you say? Pirates moved to fucking football now?
Wofford, Cincinnati, and West Virginia. This team has a setback and goes under for the sole fact that they are going to start running the ball a lot more this year.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I think they go under as well.
They're not going bowling. What do you think, Bryce?
No, they're not going bowling.
Let's go to the orange men and women of Syracuse, Colgate, West Virginia, and Purdue. I have them winning seven games.
Seven seems reasonable.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Syracuse has Pittsburgh in Yankee Stadium in November.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like Bronx, New York. I'm like, well, yeah, Yankee Stadium. Christian, what do you think? Seven games? Or do you have them going bowling the Cuse?
Ain't nobody care. Why?
Because something's up with Ryan's feedback.
Hey, Ryan, get it together.
I ain't got no feedback.
No, it's coming through on our end. I think the machine's giving off feedback through us. I don't know why.
I think somebody.
But I mean, that's you. But.
But no, I smoke weed.
All right, Virginia. Unfortunately, this is going to be a hard year for them. I'm not even going to say what they're going to get. I think they don't even win. I think they win two games this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a program. That's really trying to regroup after everything that happened last year.
But I'm not even faulting them for even winning two games this year. Yeah, and if you don't know the story, three Virginia football players were shot and killed on the campus last year during an act of gunmen.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
That was a shame.
Yeah. So, all right, next, Vatek, the Hokies. So they have Old Dominion, Purdue, and at Rutgers, and at Marshall. They have four non-conference games. Okay. I can't wait for the Rutgers game. That's old school. That's old school fucking Big East football right there, boys. Virginia Tech does not go bowling, but they win five games.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, I said they win about five.
Yep. right. Ryan, do you think that?
Yeah.
All right, Wake Forest, last one. Wake Forest, Elon Vanderbilt and at Old Dominion for the non-conference games. They're going bowling, and I got them winning 7 games, being tied in the clusterfuck of the ACC. Christian?
This is who?
Wake.
They're going to take a step back this year. No Sam Hartman. They'll be competitive, but I just don't think they have enough to win any games.
Okay. Do we want to run through the Big Ten, or do we want to save the Big Ten and SEC for next week?
Save those for next week. Let's just go to the NFL.
All right. So, quick bit of news that we got to talk about for... first things first, for the ACC conference, what's your conference title game?
Florida State, Clemson.
And who do you have winning?
Florida State.
Okay, Ryan?
Oh, shit, I don't know, but I'm going with Canes.
All right. I got North Carolina, FSU, and FSU wins.
FSU, you motherfucker.
Okay, so the NFL, we are going to the North. The biggest news out of everything, we did the East last week. Jets and the Patriots signed some people.
Yeah, Christian, I have questions about that.
Okay. All right, ask away.
Now, that guy, the guy the Jets got, I've heard of him. Now, does
Ooh,
this
Dalvin
affect... Dalvin Cook, yeah. Now, does this affect Bryce Hall's playing time, or does it bump up his playing time? You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Brees isn't going to start the season because I think he's still on a
He's been activated.
They activated him.
Well, then they're going to use Dalvin as a short yardage specialist. He's older now. They'll bring him in on, you know, maybe third and short, maybe some goal line situations.
You ready for this?
What?
You ready for this? He's Lamont Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, I'll even give you one. You could say he's even LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
He's
not going to be a first down. I think he's going to be a third down back.
Yeah, but nah, John, I like him because, you know, when he's healthy, he's top five in the league because he doesn't want to run around you. He wants to absorb contact and he wants to run through you. Very powerful back, can catch the ball out the backfield. But nowadays running backs are asked, what can you do besides run the football? Can you catch the ball? Which he can. Can you block in certain pass blocking situations? Which he can. So I think this is a good sign for them.
Now, but my big thing is, it's like, the one thing I kept hearing everybody's just you guys, does that offensive line keep them in games, or is that still a weak point?
It's still a weak point, but they're going to have to get it together because they're facing a lot of teams this year that can get after the quarterback. I mean, I look at the first game right there, Buffalo. Right? Like, if they don't keep Aaron Rodgers upright on his feet, it's going to be a long night at the office. The week after, they have to go to Dallas, and they're going to be facing a top three defensive player in the league, and Micah Parsons. New England, Matthew Judon, right? Kansas City, if he comes back, Chris Jones. Philly. Philly has a pretty vaunted front seven. Denver, they're a question mark. The Chargers, they have two guys that can get after the quarterback. So it's definitely going to be something to watch for sure because, look, everything is there for the Jets. They got the quarterback. They have the running back. Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, they're making it look like pitch and catch out there. It's just that offensive line.
But then, I mean, but the one thing you could – I think it's a safe bet to say is they're – how would you rank their defense coming into this season?
I put them in their top five. Like, they're in their – it's San Francisco, Philly, Dallas. I'll probably say the Jets. And then, you know, that fifth spot can go to so many different teams. It can go to Buffalo. You know, it can go to Cincinnati. It can go to the Steelers. Because the Steelers to me are a top five or a top six defense when TJ Watt plays. Like, when he's out, it's almost like night and day. But the Jets are definitely in the top five. They were fourth last year in total defense, and Quinnen Williams led the team in a lot of major statistical categories on the fourth best defense in the National Football League. They're always going to be a good defense, John, because of the coach. Robert Saleh is a defensive-minded guy.
Okay, one last question, then we'll move on to it. The biggest, what do you think will be the big Jets' biggest surprise of this year, and what do you think could be the possibly the worst, the biggest mistake of the Jets season?
The biggest surprise is them winning the division. I mean, I'm not ready to crown them division champs just yet, just because they have Aaron Rodgers. I said this with Tom Brady in Tampa the first year. Like, you know, like I said then, the Saints, they were just the more gelled football team. You know, they were the team with more chemistry. You know,
right.
It's going to take the Jets a while to get on the same page with one another. I think for the Jets to win this year, Aaron Rodgers can't do what he did in Green Bay. He can't take games over with his arm anymore. He has to lean on that running game, take a shot down the field here and there. If he can throw the ball at least 35 times, I think that's more than enough. I think their biggest mistake is not addressing that offensive line in the draft. They didn't need another pass rusher.
Cool.
Christian, the one thing is, though, is, and I've been saying it from the beginning, I don't want Rodgers to be MVP Rodgers. It'd be great if he does, but what the Jets team this year does not need is him to be MVP Rodgers. He doesn't need to be swinging the ball around for 4,500 yards. He needs to make sure that he doesn't lose games for us, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Keep us in games and let the defense win games.
Mm-hmm.
And does Sauce have another MVP type season?
That's going to be tough.
Even if he downgrades a little bit,
I still think he's still going to be one of the best corners in the league.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, but I think teams are going to throw at him a little bit more this year. Because, again, John, when you're a starter in your first year in the league, there's no tape on you. So teams don't really know how to, A, limit you, or, B, attack you. Now, film on him. So teams, are going to throw in his direction a little bit more. But it's like what Darrelle Revis said. You know, with Sauce now, the Jets have an identity defensively.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's the one guy I think if the news were to break that he was injured, that's almost as bad as when the Mets lost Edwin Diaz in the beginning of the year.
Yes and no, because they do have DJ Reed. Now, I know Reed is no Sauce, but everybody knows the Jets' best defensive player is Quinnen Williams.
Uh-huh.
Damn right.
I'm sorry, John. What?
I said, damn right.
No, before that.
What, about if they lost Sauce, would it be like the Mets losing Edwin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Emotional damage!
The Jets,
fuck yeah, it is.
The Jets signed Quinnen Williams for a reason to that contract extension. I think he's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league, and at one point, I thought he was playing at a defensive MVP level last year.
Yeah.
No, those were the questions I had. Those were rumbling in the back of my head, so I figured throw them out there. So.
Well, also, linebacker, you still have C.J. Mosley, you still have Quinnen Williams, you still have Al Woods, you have Carl Lawson, you have Will McDonald, who literally for his rookie season could have a fucking breakout year. Like, this line is, this front seven's insane. And then you stack on the fact that the back, you have Sauce Gardner, Michael Carter II, and DJ Reed.
That kid Carter, man. Oh, God, that kid was amazing to watch last year.
Like,
that kid was.
People forget that this line, this front seven is, no one's left. They didn't reload. It's the exact same front seven. Offense got better. Yeah. Now, are they going to win the division? I mean, that's kind of what they need to be doing, because you went out and got the best of the best that you can find. But the big thing is just that. You need to make sure that Vera Tucker needs to stay healthy. And fucking Quinton Williams needs to figure out.
Quinton. Oh.
Or not Quinton Williams. Sorry. Mekhi Becton needs to figure out what the fuck is wrong in his head.
The key to the Jets being successful this year is Breece Hall.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Because I remember the first couple games he played, it was a different team. The second he went down, that's when that team went down.
I've never seen, even with the LaDainian Tomlinson years and the Lavernius Coles and Santana Moss, I think this is the best receiving core I have seen the Jets have in years.
Yeah, because they have depth. They have a true number one. And Garrett Wilson, and he proved that he's a number one. And what
yep.
I mean by that is it didn't matter who the quarterback was. He still produced. And I know the last couple years, a lot of people have, like, sent their questions into me, and they've said, all right, how does a wide receiver win MVP? I'm like, the same consistency and the same production that he put up with his QB1, let's say his quarterback goes down, he's still effective with the backup. You see what I'm saying? And
right,
just
exactly,
seeing what
yeah.
Garrett did last year, you know, he, as for as inconsistent as Zach Wilson was, you know, he had a couple of 100 receiving yard games with Zach Wilson and then with Mike White, and then he had a couple with Joe Flacco. So he was able to do it with three different quarterbacks. They have Alan Lazard, a guy that's been comfortable playing with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he knows what Aaron wants to do. Randall Cobb is Aaron's safety valve. And then who's the other guy that they have? Mecole Hardman.
So
that's a lot of depth. And Mecole Hardman's going to be their versatility guy because they're going to run him on jet sweeps. They're going to run him on, you know, quick wide receiver screens. They're going to find different ways to get him the football.
Also, I mean, dude, the fact that you can run a jumbo pack and you have to worry about probably the two best tight ends in the game in Conklin and Uzunzada. Like, you have the depth on this team where I'm sorry. Also, Corey Davis is your slot guy. What?
And you mean CJ Uzoma?
Uzoma. And then I don't know what they did with the rookie, but then you have the other rookie who's going to be the fourth string, because they're going to have to get rid of one of these tight ends. It's insane. Like I said, I've never seen a – because like I said, Corey Davis is going to be your slot guy, because Adam Lazard is not going to be your slot. It's either going to be Corey Davis or Randall Cobb.
I think Corey's going to get released. I think he's the odd man out.
He's not going to get released. If anything, he's going to get traded.
Or he's going to get released. I'm telling you. Because you have to You got to realize something. You got to put pieces around your quarterback, you know, for him to be comfortable. And Aaron is comfortable with Randall Cobb. They're not releasing him. They're going to keep him over Corey Davis.
Oh, obviously.
Corey's going to be the odd person. Now, all right, John, what's your question?
Now, with this all bit, with everything we said about Aaron Rodgers and stuff, how many snaps, legit, now, not just saying, legit, how many snaps do you think, what's his name, Wilson gets this year? Legitimately.
I think we'll only see Zach Wilson when the Jets have already won the game, like where it's the fourth quarter and they're up by three or four touchdowns and coach normally pulls the starters. I think that's the only way.
I want to see Zach Wilson only if they're up by 30 and there's 5 minutes left in the game.
Exactly what Ronnie said.
I don't want to see Zach Wilson at all. I want him holding a fucking clipboard for the next 2 years while Rodgers is behind center, because that means he's learning from a Hall of fucking Famer, and it's literally what something Rodgers didn't do for Jordan Love, and we'll get to him, and it's exactly what needs to be happening now.
Right.
You brought, as much as you don't, as much as they don't like it, Rodgers doesn't like it, you need to teach Zach.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers isn't a leader. I've been saying this for the last couple of years. You can pay a guy to be athletic and for his athletic abilities all you want, but you can't pay a guy to be a leader. And that's exactly why I don't put him in the category with Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. I mean, or Peyton Manning, because Tom was a great leader. You know, Tom looked like he cared on the sideline. Peyton Manning, the minute he turned the ball over, he has that thing in his hand. He has that tablet in his hand. He's saying, okay, what are we doing now? Or he accepts the responsibility. Sometimes when Aaron Rodgers throws an interception, he looks like he doesn't care.
Yeah. But, all right, let's dive into the North on both ends, and then we'll call it a night. So right now there's nothing on Cincinnati, but if I had to guess, it's probably going to be 10. They're probably the favorites to win the division, and it's probably going to be over or under 10.
Now, this is who now? Who are you talking about?
Cincinnati.
What, they're going to be over 10, you think?
Yeah, they're going to be over 10 wins.
Oh, yeah, totally over 10.
But their over-under is going to be 10.
And well, they're going over.
Christian?
Yeah, this is the best team in the division. I mean, Super Bowl 1 year, back to the AFC Championship. It's safe to say these aren't the same Bengals that we used to see. They have an identity now. You know, they have an offense. They have an elite quarterback, something they haven't had in a while. They have a defense that can punish you. They're definitely going to go over. I like them to win this division. I just think they have too much, because Baltimore, can Lamar stay healthy? And I know we'll get into that. And, you know, I think Pittsburgh is going to be competitive. I think this is actually going to be a fairly competitive division this year. But I just think Cincinnati's the cream of the crop.
Yeah, Cincinnati is 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, 5-1 to come out of the conference, and plus 2-1 pretty much to win the division. I'm thinking they're going to win 10 exactly. I don't know. I think on paper right now, I don't think Vegas is giving enough love. I was telling Ryan this the other day that I think the Jets should be top 5 in Super Bowl odds with picking up Cook.
Nah, because they're not better than Kansas City.
I never said they were.
They're not better than Buffalo.
I don't know about that, dude.
Listen,
seriously,
nope.
Allen has struggled already. If Allen struggles like he did last year, he's going to get torched. I don't think Buffalo's making the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, they're making the playoffs. They're the best team in the division. But remember what I told you. Buffalo struggled in three different capacities last year. One, being Josh Allen was hurt. Like, let's not act like that. That elbow injury really affected him, because look at him the first 7 or 8 games of last season, right? I thought he was playing at an MVP level. I thought he was playing as the best player in the league, right? Goes into Kansas City and outduels Patrick Mahomes, right? But then after they played the Jets here at MetLife, he hurt his elbow. He wasn't the same guy. So that's number one. Two, they lost Von Miller, and Von Miller was having a huge impact on that defense. And what Von was doing for Gregory Rousseau is what DeMarcus Ware did for Von Miller in Denver. Got that veteran and really showed him the tricks of the trade, right? And then, again, Buffalo couldn't mentally piece it together after almost seeing what happened to DeMar Hamlin. I mean, the man Daniel has to be resuscitated. So
here's the thing.
I just think
I'm looking at one thing, and this is what I don't like. I don't trust them being what they're at odds-wise Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl at all, because even with Allen being hurt, the coach did not know what to do by planning around Josh Allen. He kept having Allen drop back and throwing 45 times.
The problem I had with Buffalo was they depend on Josh Allen to bail them out every single time. You know, if the Bills are up by 21 points or 28 points, they're still asking Josh Allen to do a little bit of everything, right? Whereas, run the football. That's what I need to see from Buffalo this year. Can they man up in the trenches, and can they run the football?
I think the odds that Vegas has them should be a lot tighter. It shouldn't be plus 125 to plus 250. It should be, if you're going to say that, I think Buffalo and New York are a lot closer than that. I think it should be close to 2-1 to plus 175.
Yeah. But all right, let's get back to the North.
All right. Cincinnati there. I got them winning 10. I think, I don't know if I have them winning the division, because I think the team I might have winning the division, I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think the team I have might be a little more clever. But Baltimore to win the Super Bowl is going down. Where are you? Baltimore is 18-1. They're 11-1 to get to the Super Bowl. To win the conference, they're plus 210, and their over-under is 9.5. Is it bad to say I can see under and they're not making the playoffs?
No, I think they can make it. I think they can make it.
I think they're going to be on the outside looking in. I think they have a chance.
I can see that, but again, it all depends on the health of Lamar Jackson.
And
not only does it depend on him, too, can the Ravens secondary improve, because they got torched last year. But that, and then, I want to see how Lamar meshes with these weapons, because as a defender, you knew what was coming. Lamar was either going to run it or he was throwing it to Mark Andrews, because that was the only reliable receiving option that he had. I look at Baltimore, and I'm also looking at their mental toughness, because they blew 6 leads last year, right, where they were up by considerable amount. I mean, I remember that Miami game like it was yesterday. They were up by 28 at one point, and they blew it, right? Buffalo, they were up by 17 on Buffalo, blew it. They were up by 10 against the Giants and blew it. Jacksonville, they were up by, 10 or 12 and blew it. And then the game against the Steelers late in the year, up by 13, and they blew it. So those are 6 games right there, and you're looking at the difference. They win those, we could be talking about them having one of the top 3 seeds in the AFC if they win those games. But again, it depends on the health of Lamar Jackson, because he hasn't really been able to stay healthy. He hasn't started the full season since 2020. I think they win 10 games. I think they can win 10. I like John Harbaugh, but I can't put them over Cincinnati right now.
Chubb?
I'll say under.
Okay. Next is...
Where did Ryan go?
Ryan had the bailout. I think his phone died on him.
Ah.
Next is the Cleveland Browns. Their over-under is 9.5. Them to win the Super Bowl is 35-1. To make it out of the AFC is 20-1. And to make it out of the North, 4-1.
Under.
I think this might be a little closer, but I think they win 8 games. I think they just are the outside looking in. They're with Baltimore. And they go 1 game under 500.
Oh, they're definitely going under. I don't see them. I don't know if they have the tools right now to get too far.
Christian?
I think they're going to be a competitive team. Deshaun Watson, he's going to be starting from the get-go. So I think he's going to have more of a feel for the offense. But I look at their defense. They have Myles Garrett. They acquired Za'Darius Smith. So you got to worry about those guys right there. They have one of the best corners in the league in Denzel Ward. But I look at Amari Cooper, and I think he's one of the more underrated wide receivers in the National Football League because he's not the quickest or he's not the most explosive. He's a technician. So he's going to beat you with concise route running. And then don't forget, this offense goes through one guy. It's Nick Chubb. I think he's one of the three best running backs in the National Football League. Right now, I'll say they win 7 games because I just think the AFC has way too much firepower because I want to look at their schedule real quick, Ronnie, if I can.
Yeah.
Hold on. Schedule 2023. Okay, let's see. So they start with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Which they could win that one because the Bengals always seem to struggle against Cleveland in Cleveland, right? Then they play the Steelers on Monday night. Then they play Tennessee, and then they play Baltimore. So they have 3 division games within their first 4 right there. I think that's going to tell us all we need to know early on. Then the 49ers come to Cleveland in week 5. And then,
oh, you're wrong. They don't open up with Cincinnati.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
You want to bet?
I'm looking right at it. Yes, they do.
What about the Texans?
Who? Since Cleveland?
Oh, no. Cleveland. Baltimore. Sorry.
See? Don't know shit. Yeah. I'm talking about the Browns. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Baltimore opens up against Houston.
They're going to destroy them.
That might be closer than I think a lot of people think.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at Cleveland's schedule right here. Okay. Cincinnati, they could upset Cincinnati. Then Pittsburgh would be tough in Pittsburgh on Monday night. Then they go to Tennessee, and then they play Baltimore. So like I said, they have 3 division games within their first 4. Then the 49ers go to Cleveland. Then Cleveland goes to Indianapolis, and then Cleveland has to make that trip to the West Coast to play Seattle, right? Then Arizona, that should be a win. Arizona comes to Cleveland. Then Cleveland goes to Baltimore. The Steelers play the Browns in Cleveland. The Browns then go to Denver. Then the Browns play the Rams, so they're going to probably stay on the West Coast. Jacksonville comes to town. Then they play the Bears. Then they play the Texans. Wow. They go back to Houston. Then they play the Jets. And then they end up. And then they finish the season in Cincinnati. So that's kind of tough.
So I have 7 lock wins, and the rest are toss-ups to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones I have as locks, I have Tennessee, Indy, Arizona, Denver, the Rams, the Bears, and the Texans. The rest to me are all coin flips. So the question is it fall on the right side of the – do three games fall on the right side for them? So you make 10. That's really
yeah.
Because the 49ers, who the hell knows? That's a toss-up. And then you got the division games. Who the hell knows what's going to happen in the division games? So you're right about the 7. The question is can three games go their way?
Mm-hmm.
Next is Pittsburgh. Finally for the North, for the AFC. Pittsburgh, their over-under is 9. They are 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. They are 35-1 to make it out and 5-1 to win the division. First off, I'm going over. Because worst case scenario, you're pushing.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say they're going to push. That means they're going to exactly be at that. I don't think they're going to go over or under. I think they're going to be right stand pat.
The weird thing is this is the team I have winning the North. Pittsburgh is always that team that just likes to stay consistent. And they find a way to get themselves in there. And the big question to me is does Kenny Pickett take the next step forward to being the next, the guy?
He's going to have to be.
He's going to have to be. Yep.
Yeah, he's going to have to be. I think the Jets are a wild card team this year because of the coach. Look, Mike Tomlin is the best head coach in the league.
Hold on. The Jets are a wild card team?
Yeah. My three wild card teams in the AFC are the Jets.
Okay, so you – okay. I thought you meant to say Pittsburgh by accident. I didn't know you
the
were –
The Jets, the Steelers, and the Ravens are my three wild card teams.
Okay.
With Pittsburgh, they're going to have to play how – they did with Roethlisberger early on. Lots of the running game, you know, let Kenny Pickett control things. And most importantly, like you said, don't lose the football game. But I just think the difference maker for the Steelers is it's going to be a healthy T.J. Watt. He has to stay healthy. But the X factor for all of this in Pittsburgh for them to be successful is Minka Fitzpatrick, because when he's on the field, he makes all the difference, and he's really been the tape to that entire secondary for the Steelers, because let's face it, the last couple years, it's been tough for the Steelers to replace Troy Polamalu, and rightfully so. He's a Hall of Famer, right? But, yeah, Minka's come in, and, I mean, he's given them that playmaking that they've needed in the back end. You know, there's a lot of talk about George Pickens and Ronnie. You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
He's the closest thing I've seen to DeAndre Hopkins. I just think DeAndre is a better route runner, but, you know, the body control, the acrobatics, the going up for the ball, like, you know, George reminds me a lot of DeAndre.
I
also look at the Steelers. They got Patrick Peterson as well. They've never really had a true number one corner.
I can't explain it. And also the other thing is too is with Cincinnati, and I hate saying it this way, we don't know how bad really the injury is for Burrow.
Yeah, that's why he's not playing right now. Like,
right. I'm just saying we don't know if he comes out if one wrong move. Well, he doesn't do this. I go, well, yeah, what happens if he tweaks that knee one more time?
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I'm like, on paper right now, I like Pittsburgh. It's not even a betting thing. It's just Tom, with how the coaches and Tomlinson, never being under 500, you're pretty much betting them to be over 500 again. At 9. I can, and I counted up like just the games that I think are legit wins. I have 9 just on that alone. So you have to tell me out of the rest of those 8 games, they can't win 2 or 3. I mean, that's the big thing. All right. So you're going with Cincy for the division?
Yeah.
Good. John, who are you taking for the division?
Cincy.
I'm taking Pittsburgh. All right, let's go to the NFC North and make it quick. All right, Chicago, 7.5 over under Chicago. 50-1 to win the Super Bowl, 22-1 to get out of the North, or not out of the NFC, and +4.25 to win the division. Ha ha, very funny, motherfuckers. Under, but they win 7 games.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry, Christian. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, John. It's okay.
No, they're going to be a push. I think they're going to be a push. I think they're going to stay. They're not going to go over or under. I think they're going to stay right in the middle.
Well, they're 7.5, so it wouldn't be a push.
Well, I'm going to say 7. I'm not going to say any higher than
that. Under.
Yeah.
I say they win 6 games. Yes, they got Justin Fields a weapon and DJ Moore. You know, hopefully they did enough to solidify that offensive line. But defensively, I want to see what they do because they really don't have a star now. You got rid of Khalil Mack. You traded Roquan Smith. So who are you going to build that defense around?
Right. And also, I'm sorry, but everyone that's saying Fields is going to be MVP with what? I'm just going to stick that for what it is. With what?
Yeah.
All right, next, Minnesota. 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, 16-1 to make it out of the NFC, and 3-1 to win the North. Over-under is 8.5.
I think they take a little bit of a step back this year because, again, it's like what I've been saying throughout the night. This seems to be the theme with my analysis. Last year when Kevin O'Connell came in, you know, he implemented that offense and defense didn't know what they were going to run. So, again, you know, that's a team having one up on any defense trying to play them. Now that this film on how O'Connell runs his offense, I just think they're going to come back down to reality a little bit. Yeah, Justin Jefferson is going to be great. He's going to get his. But now there's no Dalvin Cook. And can that Minnesota defense – are they going to improve? I think that's the million-dollar question right there, because for how good Minnesota's offense was, their defense let them down. And that's why I always keep telling people, you know, you got to cut Kirk Cousins some slack because he can only play on one side of the ball. He put them in prime position to win football games. You know, he can't play on a defensive side.
Yeah, they already announced that they're not going to resign Cousins next year. So could that be a distraction in the locker room?
No, I don't think so.
But I agree with you. I have them not going over. I have them actually winning 7 games and being third in that division.
I think they're going to go over. I think they're going to go over because it's like you said, Cousins is not coming back. I think he's got something to prove this year, so this might actually push them forward. I think.
I would say yes if they had a legit number 2 receiver. They don't. It's Jefferson and everybody else, and they're going to double.
Well, remember, they drafted Jordan Addison, so
yeah,
you know, that gives them another explosive weapon. And you have T.J. Hockenson, so they're not short of offensive weapons in Minnesota. Again, it's going to be on a defense.
Right. All right, next, the Detroit Tigers. The The Lions. Oh my God, dude, I'm tired. I just want to get through this. The Lions. They are 22-1 to win the Super Bowl, 10-1 to get out, and 120 and +120 to win the North.
Now who's this now?
Detroit.
And how many? What's the number?
9.5.
They go over.
They go under.
Nah, they're going over. I think they win this division. They're going to build off of
I have
them
winning.
Did.
Well, strike that. Hold on. They go under. They win 9 games.
I think they're going to win this division because I think they're going to build off of what they started last year. I'll tell you guys this. If I were an active player right now, which I'm glad I'm not because I miss you guys too much, Dan Campbell's the coach I want to play for because his players run through a brick wall. For him, he's the true definition of a player's coach, meaning he knows the hardships and the ups and downs of what it means to be a player in our league. And I just love the confidence he instilled in his guys last year. You know, Jameson Williams is coming back, and he's going to give them that explosive threat down the field, something they haven't had since Calvin Johnson. Amon-Ra St. Brown is still going to be. It's still going to be there. You know, can the Lions run the ball? And then they have a young defense. You know, I think this is the most unpredictable division in the league. But I'm going to give it to the Lions right now.
Okay. All right. And John, what was your – you said over?
Yes.
Okay. And finally, the Green Bay Packers. They're 50-1 to win the Super Bowl, 22 to get out, and +380 – to win the North. Their over-under is 7.5. They go over. The question to this is Jordan Love good? Because if he's good, they could win this division.
The writing was on the wall for Aaron Rodgers to get out of Green Bay because what have I always told you guys about head coaches, new head coaches coming in? They want to develop their own guy, and Matt LaFleur is now going to have that chance with Jordan Love. And this is going to be weird for anybody my age because throughout these last couple of years, we've only known two quarterbacks to play in Green Bay. One is already in the Hall of Fame, and one's now playing for the New York Jets. And he's going to be a future Hall of Famer when it's all said and done, whenever he retires. But, you know, one thing I heard was, Jordan Love is a leader. That's something you didn't necessarily hear about from the last quarterback. I say they win 7 games. I mean, they're in a rebuild now.
Oh, here's the funny thing. What did Green Bay do the first chance they got? They turned around and got Jordan Love receivers.
Yeah.
What did they not do with good old Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, because, I mean, they were just so far apart.
Yep. I got them going over. I got them winning 10, possibly 10 games. I have Green Bay winning this division.
Okay.
The main question is if he can – so here's the thing. I'll say this. If Jordan Love stays healthy and is what he is predicted to be, Green Bay wins this division. If not, Detroit will win this. What do you think, Christian? Who do you got?
I like Detroit.
Detroit.
All
right, and that is our picks for the NFC and AFC North. Next week, it goes to the South. So the last bit of news that I want to bring up, and I don't really have any – personally, I don't have anything to talk about this, but I want to know Christian's opinion on this. What's your thoughts on Zeke going to the Pats?
It's not a bad signing. You know, he's a veteran, so he can kind of guide the young guys. New England has a thing about taking on these veterans and – getting the best out of them. Look at what they did with Corey Dillon all those years ago, right? you know, Corey was a little bit of a hothead. And then once he got to New England, he was served that humble pie. I mean, Randy Moss speaks for himself. They had Ocho Cinco. Yeah, I know that didn't really pan out. That's just Belichick. He just knows how to work with these veteran players. But the only thing that concerns me about Zeke is, one, can he stay healthy? And two, can he leave his antics at the door? Because this is an old school coach that you're playing for now. Because if, you know, you get into any trouble or you're causing scenes on the sideline, Belichick will cut you mid-game.
Yeah.
You know, he had it easy in Dallas. Now, you know, you're playing with an old school, tough-nosed coach who will not hesitate to fire you.
Nope. Not at all. Dude, I love this right now. Breaking into this, Dodgers are up on Milwaukee right now.
Right.
If you are a Central fan, you are loving the shit out of this because you're both, the Cubs and Reds are about to go 2.5 up in the division and are tied for the third wild card spot.
Wow.
Wow.
And with the Marlins, because the Marlins lost today. The Cubs right now clinched the third by run differential. Cincinnati and Miami are behind them. This is, if you're going to watch anything, my thing, and then we'll get out of here. If you're going to start watching any type of baseball, find ways to watch any of the Central, especially the Cubs and the Reds. Because right now, the one thing that's interesting about the Cubs is no Stroman until playoff time.
Ha-ha.
With a broken rib.
Ha-ha.
Dude, you don't like it, but he rests. If he stays rested until playoffs and he's got to pitch in the three-game series, I would not want to deal with the Cubs' starting rotation.
I said what I said.
It's just everything's panning out. Everything's looking Milhouse.
Everything's coming up Milhouse. Yeah, I know that joke.
But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Guys, do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Don't think.
Nope. All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and follow us on all social media networks. Under the Nerdport Network, follow us individually on Twitter /X at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At Daily Blitz _61.
Follow Ryan at Suncock STL. Join us back here next week as we take a deep dive into the SEC and Big Ten /Notre Dame. The NFL South, as well as much, much more, and any weird news that might be happening during the week. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you heard, tell your enemies. But until then, always remember to tell them about two things. One, there is always a teachable moment. Two, Bobby Bonilla is always getting paid. And hell, if you don't believe us, well, then that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
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 Good night.